On today's edition of God and Country, we are going to be looking at the courts and their abuse of power, and how the courts have been the instrument to remove Christian morality from our society. It is important that we know these things, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. I am your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, and welcome to God and Country. The founders of our country would never have imagined, with the power of judicial review, that the courts would make up their own law without the consent of the people. Forcing Americans to adopt the twisted relativistic values of the 9 judges who sit on the Supreme Court, the 179 judges who sit on the appeals courts, and the 678 judges who sit on the district courts. This is an elite group of people remaking America. Conservative Judge Robert Bork writes in his memoirs, "It's abundantly clear that the majority of the Supreme Court no longer considers itself a constitutional court. One highly respected federal judge said to me that Lawrence versus Texas, that overthrew Texas law and legalized sodomy, means that the Constitution is simply gone. Instead, the court majority has made itself into a secular papacy, the final authority on matters of faith and morals." Another writer assessed the danger of the courts by saying, "If they can find the rights to abortion in the Constitution, they can find in the Constitution the right to do anything." It was the courts that removed the Bible from the schools. In 1963, in Shemp versus Abington School District, the Pennsylvania law was that at least 10 verses of the Bible shall be read without comment at the opening of each public school day. The courts ruled that this was unconstitutional, and therefore the courts favored freedom from religion over the freedom of the people of Pennsylvania to practice religion. In 1962, in Engel versus Vattel, the courts ruled any kind of prayer composed by public school districts, even non-denominational prayer, is an unconstitutional government sponsorship of religion. In 1980, Stone versus Graham, the courts decided that the posting of the Ten Commandments in schools is unconstitutional. In 1985, in Wallace versus Jaffrey, the courts decided that the state's moment of silence in public schools is unconstitutional because it encourages prayer. In 1987, in Edwards versus Alucard, the courts decided it was unconstitutional for state schools to teach creationism. The courts have removed Jesus Christ from our public education system, as if our forefathers were wrong in having allowed religion in the public schools in the first place. The courts have also removed religion from the state. In 1989, in Allegheny County versus the ACLU, the courts decided that a nativity scene displayed inside a government building violates the Establishment Clause. In 2005, the 10th Circuit Court ruled that a county courthouse cannot display a monument of the Ten Commandments. The Supreme Court refused to hear the case, letting the ruling stand. The courts have also removed decency and obscenity laws from our land. In 2000, in U.S. versus Playboy Entertainment, the courts ruled unconstitutional a law requiring indecent programming to be limited to hours when children would not be watching. In Ashcroft versus the Free Speech Coalition, the courts held that Congress cannot prohibit in movies or in print the depiction of children engaged in sexual acts. By the use of this concept of free speech, the courts have been able to overturn much of the moral laws our country used to enjoy, and we are compelled to live in an immoral society. In Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court overthrew all state law and legalized abortion across America. And the courts created out of thin air a new individual right to privacy and a right to define one's own belief as to when human life begins. In 2003, this new right of privacy led to the overturning of a Texas sodomy law in the case Lawrence versus Texas. This legalized homosexuality, which throughout the history of our country had been an illegal activity like incest and polygamy. In Romer versus Evans, the court made it illegal for the state of Colorado to stop any citizen or town from making homosexuals a protected class, which in effect made it illegal for a Christian to refuse to hire or rent to a homosexual. In May of 2008, the California Supreme Court ruled 4-3 that gays and lesbians were entitled to marry under the state constitution. The voters of California were angered by this ruling, and they passed Proposition 8 just 6 months later. And that amended the state constitution to ban same-sex marriages. Despite the fact that this was the will of the voters of California, this summer, a federal judge ruled that Proposition 8 is unconstitutional. Now it goes to the upper courts. In 1996, the Senate, the Congress, and the President signed into law the Defense of Marriage Act, defining marriage as the union exclusively between a man and a woman. This summer, a federal district court judge decided that he did not like that law and ruled that that law violates the Constitution. I was recently reading a political cartoon. The founding fathers of our country are all standing around the Constitution with a pen. One founding father says to another founding father, "Let's put gay marriage right here between abortion and socialized medicine." The Constitution never mentioned any of these things. It was up to the Congress to decide these matters. The courts have no right to make up laws or overturn well-established moral laws based upon an interpretation of the Constitution. Making law is the responsibility of federal and state legislators. The courts should not legislate from the bench. This is also called judicial activism. And the courts have usurped their constitutional power to make cultural moral decisions for the American public. But some might reply, weren't the courts a good force to aid the civil rights movement? Not really. It was the courts that ruled in the Dred Scott case that a black man is not a person. And it was the courts that ruled for segregation in Plessy versus Ferguson. The courts never fell on the right side of history, even with this issue. It was the legislators who passed the 13th and 14th Amendments, and it was the legislators who passed the Civil Rights Act of 1964. When it comes to real righteous moral change, the courts have followed rather than leading. But when it comes to depravity, the courts have always led. Something is wrong with the judicial philosophy being taught to our judges in the universities. For the justices consistently fall on the wrong side of morality when they feel free to legislate from the bench. Now, it would be one thing if the established law of our land had nothing to say about decency and morality, but the courts have had to overturn moral laws that have been on the books for centuries, which shows the defiance and the arrogancy of these judges. And this brings greater condemnation upon their heads, for they have moved the established standards of righteousness. Proverbs 22:28, "Do not move the ancient boundaries which your fathers have set." Hosea chapter 5, verse 10, "The princes of Judah have become like those who move a boundary. On them I will pour out my wrath like water." Bad judges are nothing new. Israel, in her departure from the Lord, was moved along the path of evil by corrupt judges. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 4, "Woe to her who is rebellious and defiled, the tyrannical city. She heeds no voice. She accepts no instruction. She did not trust in the Lord. She did not draw near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are wolves at evening. They have done violence to the law." The psalmist cries in Psalm 82, "How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked?" The prophet Isaiah writes in chapter 1, "Then I will restore your judges as at the first, and your counselors as at the beginning. After that, you will be called the city of righteousness, a faithful city." In that the prophet says, "I will restore your judges," it was evident that the unrighteous judges needed to be removed and replaced with righteous judges. Jesus rebuked the lawyers of his day. Luke chapter 11, "Woe to you lawyers as well, for you weigh down men with burdens hard to bear, while you yourselves will not even touch the burdens with one of your fingers." Like today, lawyers and judges make legislation that burdens the people with rulings after rulings, which make life and business impossible for the average person. Luke chapter 11, Jesus says, "Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You yourself did not enter, and you hindered those who were entering." The legal system, with its rulings, overshadowed the scripture and thus robbed people from the content and the application of the Word of God. It has gotten so bad that the courts in our lands have ruled that prosecutors or defendants cannot quote the Bible in the courtroom, lest they sway the jury with religion. The courts have taken away the key of knowledge. But the question is, why are the justices in America so anti-Christian morality, even more liberal than the legislative branch and the general population? The Congress and the Senate would never have legalized abortion in 1973, but the courts did. Well, one reason is that the legislative branch of government has the public to answer for. The courts have lifetime appointments. The legislators need to go to the public to vote on them every few years. And the majority of Americans in 1973 were against abortion. The same holds true for gay marriage. The courts are legalizing it, but it was the legislators who passed the Defense of Marriage Act back in 1996. They did this to try to stop the courts. But the answer as to why the courts are so liberal goes even deeper. The courts are more liberal because the justices have their morals informed not by the scriptures, but by the Constitution and the writings of men. And the law schools train them to define justice in terms of fairness, plurality, equality. And this comes to mean, to be equal, anyone's choice of behavior must be allowed. Justice is not based on the fixed Ten Commandments found in the Bible. And even if the justices have had a Sunday school background, they are taught in the universities that it is unjust to allow any religious morality to affect their judgment. Now, you and I know that that's ridiculous, but that is the way they're taught to think. For the justices, morality is judged by human reason, and man is the measure of all things. On the other hand, the legislators tend to judge morality by the opinion of the voters. And the voters' opinions are more informed by the morals of the Christian faith. The church is the conscience of the people, and since the people vote, the church is the conscience of the state. But the church cannot be the conscience of the judiciary, since their judiciary philosophy rejects religious thought. This is why the courts are more liberal than the rest of society. So the legislative branch leans more toward Christian morality, the judicial branch leans more toward humanism. Now, if we had justices who took an oath to defend the Constitution and biblical law, things would be much different. But as it is, the justices have been convinced by law schools that law should be a function of equal treatment and utility rather than the absolutes of the scripture. The morals of Baal, Dagon, Satan, and God are all given equal footing. And that is a recipe for an immoral nation. Without being grounded in the ethics of Scripture, the concept of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness all swing in favor of ungodly legislation, not biblical morality. And so the justices call good evil and evil good, as it says in Isaiah 5. And in Isaiah 29:21, the judges defraud the one in the right with meaningless arguments. Meaningless because they use the vague concept of freedom and equality to justify sin. As in ancient Israel, the leaders do not listen to God, but they rule by their own authority. Jeremiah chapter 5, an appalling and a horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own authority, and my people love it so. But what will you do in the end of it? Most people have grown to accept the way the courts have taken the role of deciding moral questions. We should not accept it. And we should inform people that the courts do not have the right to interpret the meaning of the Constitution, but to apply the Constitution when it is clear. When a controversy arises over whether abortion or sodomy is right or wrong, the court should simply throw the complaint back to the litigants and tell them that the Constitution says nothing about this. If you want the right to do these things, the legislators must pass a law that says so. The courts have no right to make new law. And it is never the responsibility of the judges to settle conflicts between conflicting laws. The courts need to throw it back to legislators and say, you reconcile these two laws, drop one or the other. But it's the responsibility of the legislators. The courts are not above the legislators. But the justices want power. Why does Congress allow it? Well, many are cowards. They would rather let the courts decide morals because the legislators do not want to make any group unhappy, lest they would lose votes. And it's much easier for them to not take a stand and to blame the courts. Now, here's a philosophical question. The complaint of the left is that the conservatives are all against the courts legislating from the bench when the rulings support the liberal agenda. But when the courts favor a conservative cause, we accept judicial activism. Even though the Constitution says nothing directly about the federal government's position on abortion, conservatives would be more than happy for the federal courts to outlaw abortion as unconstitutional. So is it really judicial activism we're against, or are we against the direction of judicial activism? Look at it this way. The Senate and the House and the President make up 536 votes. The Supreme Court makes up 9 votes. If there are two governments, the one is a government of 9 lifetime appointees, that's pro-life, and the other government is 536 elected legislators that are pro-choice, as far as the abortion position, we would be for the government of 9. We accept a righteous ruling, whether from a democratic government or from a Caesar in Rome. Could you hear the Apostle Paul saying to Caesar, I'm sorry, I can't agree with your protection of Christians because your government is a dictatorship? Nor should the Christian community today say, sorry, we can't accept any righteous law coming from the Supreme Court because they're legislating from the bench. We would support a righteous ruling, but on the side, we would work for the elimination of the court's power because we know that a government of 9 people elected for life tends toward the abuse of power. Now, what can be done to change the situation and return to the people of America the power to decide our own morals? The conservatives have worked toward the appointment of federal judges who hold to a strict interpretation of the Constitution, while the liberals are working to get activist judges who are pushing the liberal social agenda. Currently, there are about 100 federal judgeships that still need to be filled. And the partisan battle over the judges is politics at its worst. Most conservative leaders see conservative appointments as too little too late. We need to get to the root of the problem. A better solution would be to remove the court's jurisdiction over certain cases. Most people do not realize that Congress has the right in the Constitution to prevent the Supreme Court or any federal court from hearing certain cases. The Constitution reads this way. The Supreme Court shall have appellate jurisdiction both as to law and to fact, with such exceptions and under such regulations as the Congress shall make. Congress could have prevented the courts from hearing Roe v. Wade, or prevented the courts from hearing Lawrence v. Texas. And in this provision in the Constitution, you see that the courts are supposed to be under the authority of Congress. Congress appoints the justices, and Congress can decide which cases can be heard. The heat is off Congress because the public doesn't know this, but Congress is responsible for the decision of the courts. Has Congress ever limited the role of the courts? Well, in 1869, Congress prohibited the courts from hearing complaints about Reconstructionism. And the courts gave in, saying, we are not at liberty to inquire into the motives of the legislators. We can only examine into its power under the Constitution. And the power to make exceptions to the appellate jurisdictions of this court is given by express words in the Constitution. Now, there are two pieces of legislation that were put forth in 2007. there's the Marriage Protection Act, and that law would have stripped all federal courts of the power to review or overturn the Defense of Marriage Act passed in 1996. There is also the Public Prayer Protection Act, which would have denied the federal courts the ability to rule on cases trying to overturn public prayer in government functions. Unfortunately, both bills never became law. But do you see what conservative legislators are trying to do? They know that the courts will try to overturn moral laws passed by the Congress. So they are using the Constitution to prevent the courts from tampering with the law. Now, of course, if laws such as this ever started to pass, the courts would fight Congress and the courts would try to reassert their power. Because the courts want to believe that they're the ultimate arbiter of constitutional questions. Really, the best solution to stop judicial tyranny is for a new constitutional amendment to be passed that requires Congress to vote on all Supreme Court interpretations of the Constitution. If the courts want to interpret new law of the Constitution, they cannot do so without congressional approval. Now, there would have to be a strong conservative takeover of government before such an amendment is ever added to the Constitution. But let me conclude by looking at what God is teaching us through all this. He is showing us how our nation and the world is going down. He is showing us what happens when man is the judge, not God. And the evils of this world will not be stopped until Jesus Christ is the judge. The scriptures say that Jesus Christ will return to be the perfect judge, and he will rule with a rod of iron. And this is the promise, Isaiah chapter 11, with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Isaiah 33 says, for the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us. But the current judges and the rulers of this earth better not wait until the true judge comes. They must judge according to the law of God now. Psalm chapter 2 warns the judges of this world not to violate God's law. Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. When the judges of America legalize pornography, abortion, homosexuality, people think that they have actually overturned God's law. Nobody can overturn God's law. God's standards and judgments are unmoved. What, do you think the rulings passed by the Supreme Court are binding on God? God's laws are never changed by man, but these judges amuse themselves thinking that they have abrogated God's law. All the courts are doing is lying, telling people that the law has changed when it has not changed. Be encouraged. No politician, no court, no government can ever truly overturn God's law. And no one will ever get away with sin, because every man will stand before the eternal judge of this universe. Proverbs 21, there is no wisdom and no understanding and no counsel against the Lord. Make sure you are standing in the last day as one who has received the pardon through faith in the work of Christ on the cross. You have been listening to God and Country Radio, a ministry of Harbor Bible Church off of exit 120 of the Garden State Parkway. Our website is godandcountryradio.org, 732-583-9286. That is godandcountryradio.org, 732-583-9286. Thank you for being with us. Let's close in prayer. God, you are our judge, our lawgiver, and our king. May the judges of our land take heed, and may you place within them a fear of the Lord. May righteousness spring up in our land, and may our judges turn from their human ideas and turn to the Word of God. May every listener today do the same, and may they bow the knee to your sovereign lordship. Amen.